So, Sarah, we talked about institutions earlier and how we're looking at a sizable influence. Is there any other way that we can think about that institutional influence that the PF might have?
Yeah, I think that you have applicants or principal fellows who are able to demonstrate strong and sustained influence through their disciplines. So they have carried out work at a sector level within their discipline, maybe a discipline network or a discipline-based professional body, where they have shaped the approaches of that network or the policy relating to how the network carries out its practice. And if they can show that through their involvement it has fed back and impacted either on other higher education educators who work within that discipline sphere, or ultimately on the students who receive that impact through the way their education is provided, then I think that can constitute the level of influence and impact that we're looking for within a principal fellowship application.
So do you think, for example, somebody who maybe works on behalf of a professional body and accredits courses in alignment with professional qualifications, is that PF?
I think to me that it may be more of a senior fellowship type example. It's probably, you know, equivalent to somebody going and sitting on revalidation panels in other institutions. I think what I'd be looking for more are the people who work within that professional body and who support the work of that professional body in shaping its overarching policy to do with accreditation, and in thinking about how that then is cascaded down, how they're developing the people who go out and carry out the accreditation role, rather than necessarily being the ones who are implementing it and operationalising it.
So it's it's strategic conceptualisation, if you like, rather than that operationalisation we were talking about earlier.
Yes, and I can see that many people might be doing a mixture of both, but I think it's important to have that strategic involvement as well as the more local operation of it.
And just touching on what we just said there, I mean, it is possible that some people may have a sort of combination of D3 and D4 practice. Is there any rule of thumb there in terms of a PF application?
Yeah, I think that again is a tricky one. I feel that the principal fellow examples need to be in the majority. Mm-hmm. Throughout the application, throughout all of the criteria, and I think there needs to be a focus on that level of reach that we look for in principal fellowship. It could be that somebody has some focus on a more local example, but then builds that example up to show how they drew from their own learning and practice and use that as a stepping stone to influence policy and practice at an institutional level, and then took ownership of that. So I think things can feed up and become strategic, but I would be worried if an application had predominantly including examples that we would typically see more of within a senior fellowship application. Mm-hmm. When we're thinking about external or international influence, are there any examples of work people might do out with their own institution that really doesn't hit the D4 sphere of influence we're looking for?
Yeah, I mean, I often come across examples where people talk about themselves as being flying faculty, for example, to a campus overseas. And I think you've got to be very careful about that. If you're flying faculty and you're going to this overseas campus to provide workshops, sometimes to do with fellowship and sometimes to provide short bursts of block teaching at that institution, that's not really PF. Even though it's international, that's really your own learning and teaching practice. It may be in the case of working with overseas colleagues to gain fellowship, then that would be D3, because you're influencing and helping them and mentoring them through that process. I think you've got to be very careful. An example where it would be D4, for example, would be if you had a campus which was overseas, which was again operating in that quasi-autonomous way, and you were going in and saying, setting up a fellowship scheme in that campus, and therefore impacting everybody in that campus rather than individual pockets of people.
Okay, so it's more about the institutional strategic impact you're having, rather than going in and influencing and impacting at the course or school level in that partnership.
Absolutely. Course and school level impact is important, but it's predominantly senior fellowship rather than principal fellowship.
Okay, that's useful to clarify. I think one of the thorny points for us all is how we evidence impact of strategic leadership. I wonder whether it's worth us trying to think about what impact might look like within a principal fellowship application.
I think it really is going to depend on the type of example that you use. But one of the important things, I think, when you're looking at any example that you provide in support of your claim, is that you're not just looking at the what. You're not looking at the description of what it is that you've implemented. It's also thinking about why you've implemented it and how you've designed that strategy. Because that why and the how will point to the impact that you've had. So let us say, for example, you were the author or the architect of an institutional policy that looked to increase retention of students. You may have financial and ethical reasons for that, but the very rationale that you have for creating that strategy means that the impact will be visible in your retention figures for the next while. So it's thinking about, well, if this was the purpose of the strategy, if this is the institutional rationale for it, how am I going to gather evidence that shows that it is having an impact at that wider level, at that wider reach?
So the so what is really important, isn't
absolutely.
It? Yeah, absolutely. Is one other way that you can evidence your impact through your use of the advocate statements?
Yes. Advocates are very useful in that often they will have a different perspective on the impact that you're having. Because you might be almost tunnel vision, if you like. But they're able to offer a wider perspective on the impact that you're having, both within the institution and beyond. So it's important to choose your advocates very carefully so that they are people who are able to comment on the strategic and institutional influence that you're having, rather than individuals who may have a more personalised impact.
Okay, and I guess it's also very important to remember, if you look back at the principal fellowship application requirements, that one of those advocates must be able to comment on the influence that you've had on them personally or professionally.
But at D4.
Yes, through that strategic leadership lens.
Through that lens. So, for example, it may be that you have a strategy that you've authored and you've been able to show impact at your own institution, and somebody from another institution has taken that and reconfigured it for their own institution. So that's the type of influence. It's not influence on their own learning and teaching practice with their own students. It's that personal influence that has enabled that person to have institutional impact.
Yeah, good point. I think something that I've noticed in some advocate statements that come through is that it's not always clear that that person themselves has understood the nature of principal fellowship. So I would take time when you are seeking support from people in producing those statements for you, to explain to them what principal fellowship is about, so that they can ensure that they're using the right sort of examples of your practice and information to help support your application, rather than it not really being fit for the purpose that it's needed to be used for.